Our scripture this morning is one that we are familiar with, but it has so much to offer us, and so I hope that you are ready to receive from the Lord this morning. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Messiah that was to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly, and he found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." And after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This morning I want us to think about several different aspects. And I'm going to start by asking you to think about when you make a trip. Okay, Carolyn, when you go to England, what do you have to do to get ready? You have to pack. So you have to pull out the suitcase. You have to think how big you can take, because it can only be 40 pounds. You have to think through, what do I really need? And you have to limit it, because 40 pounds is not a lot. So, that's one thing that you have to do. You have to think about it. Then, she has to think about the weather in England. Okay? She has to think what is going to be appropriate to have over there. So, there are several things that you have to think about. When I take a trip to Florida, I stop and think about the weather. So, do I pack only my winter clothes? No, I'm going to take some shorts. That's my summer clothes that I will take to Florida. Will I also take some warmer clothes? Yes. So there's all these things you have to think through. But I want you to think about it. Carolyn, why do you go to England? It's home. Is it exciting to go? It is. It's. Why do I go to Florida? It's someplace different. When you start getting into southern Georgia, and all of a sudden the climate changes, it is just so neat to see that whole change. The trees are not the same anymore. All of a sudden you've got the palm trees, and it's just really different. And it's exciting. It's exciting. Now, why am I talking about this? Because I want you to stop and think about these Magi who came to see the Christ child. This trip was not going to be as easy as our trips. It was done on foot or by camel. They were going to have to cross desert areas to come from the east to the west, to Jerusalem. Okay? Also, it was not a safe journey. There were robbers. Jesus used the parable of the man who was beaten and robbed. Okay? This was something they were familiar with. That's why he used that parable. These wise men were going to have to journey, and they were going to have to think about safety. We don't know who all was in the entourage that they gathered together. They might have joined up with another caravan that was traveling along. The scripture is silent on all those things. But they had to think about this. And so I wanted you to realize these magi recognized the importance of what was happening. They realized this was a very special event. These magi must have realized that the king of Israel that was going to be born was the one who was sent from God above. Can you imagine it, that you would just make a journey like that just because you thought it would be fun? I can't imagine traipsing across the desert. Now, I had one experience of crossing the desert. It was with Darwin and Becky. A long time ago, Plymouth Duster, those of you that remember that, Becky had this cute little Plymouth Duster. Brown and tan, was it? Oh, it was a Dodge Dart. It had the stripe on it. It was cute as could be. No air conditioning. That was my experience of the desert. In August, we were smart enough to travel at night so that we didn't have the whole heat of the day. It still was not cool. We drove straight from here all the way to California with one little break where we rented a motel room for a few hours, took a swim, and then got back in the car. It was not a fun trip, okay? Why would we do that? Because there was something exciting at the end. Something that we wanted, really wanted to do at the end. That's why the wise men made this trip. Now, why did we choose to begin a trip in our lives with Jesus? Looking for the end. But on the trip, do you learn things? Do you stumble? Do you have some hot times? So, I wanted us to think this morning about these magi. I wanted us to think about the sacrifice that they took. Was anyone paying them to go? They had to dig into their own resources. Now, I'm guessing with the gifts that they brought, these were wealthy people, okay? Because they brought gifts that the wealthy would have had. You know, I mentioned last week that when Jesus was presented at the temple, they gave only the smallest offering they could, that of the two doves. Obviously, the wise men had not been to their home yet. So, I want us now to think about our lives. I want us to think about the challenge that we have in our lives. And guys, it is a challenge. It is not just... And this is one of the things that I sometimes think that somehow we as pastors have failed in. Because we talk about how God is going to be our rock. He's going to be our refuge. He's going to be the mother hen that covers us with her wings, okay? I want you to think why the mother hen covers her chicks with her wings. One, when they're little, they need the heat. Two, if there's a storm brewing, they're not going to stand up very good in the storm. So she covers them to protect them. Does that mean that it was easy to be there under their mother all the time? Does it mean that there was no storm raging around them? I want us to recognize that sometimes we have this false impression of when Christ comes into our life. I want you to think a moment for one of the things that Jesus described. He said that his word was a two-edged sword. And it was going to divide. Okay, what does divide mean when you're using a sword? To cut. Okay. We use a knife for a lot of things. And hopefully we don't end up using it on ourselves. I had used one of those fancy little things that you slide across one time. and you're supposed to use this guard. Well, the keeping the guard on there was not always the easiest, and so I didn't do that. Well, the next thing I knew, I had sliced off the end of my finger. And I'm not being able to get it to stop bleeding. And I said to my wife, we may have to consider going to the emergency room, but let's get this bandaged and see if we can get the bleeding stopped. We didn't end up having to go. Was not a fun experience. But I learned something very important. There is a reason for that guard. But guys, that's the way it is in our Christian lives as well. There's a reason that he told us all these things. The reason that the sword is there is to cut out the bad stuff, to get rid of it. That process is not always easy, is not always comfortable, probably is not. I should probably say it won't be comfortable. But if we don't get rid of the garbage, we can't get the strength that we need. And so it's so important. And the wise men recognized that the journey was important. There was a goal. We need to recognize that our journey, and it says that God loves us and he will discipline his children. So when we get into struggles, we need to sometimes stop and say, okay, what's going on, Lord? Is this a discipline? Is this something you want to make me stronger in? And look for why this is here and how it can be used for his glory. He says that everything that happens, everything can be used for his glory. Now I want you to stop and think about Arabella's grandmother for a moment. Car accident. Sternum broken. How can that be used for God's glory? Well, there's any number of ways. One, she can recognize that there may have been an angel there keeping her from getting hurt worse. Two, she can recognize that God is the healer and he is the one who will ultimately heal her. Three, she can recognize that that's not just an awful thing, but something that she can come through. She can praise the Lord that she wasn't killed. So there's many things that God can take something that is not good and use it for his glory. Now, I've had some hard things in my life. I've shared with you some of those. I've shared with you some of the times that I didn't feel like I was totally successful in being able to walk through those. God says that he will give us peace. His peace. And that's not a peace that is absent of stress and strife. That's a peace that stays with us because of his presence within us. So when I start feeling stress, and now, guys, this is where I feel stress. Through here and right through there. I don't know how many of you that's where you feel your stress. But I can feel it. I can feel it just tightening up. I can feel it cramping. I stop and realize that there's something going on. That's my warning sign to stop and think and to turn to God. And that's what we need to do, guys. When God gives us a warning sign, whatever it is, we need to stop and turn to him and say, Lord, how do I proceed now? What is my next step? He says, I will be a light unto your path. Now, I want you to think about when you're holding a lantern or a flashlight and you're walking. Does that flashlight illuminate everything around you? Even my best flashlight just makes a nice little path and maybe 4 or 5 feet that I can see clearly. But that's what he says I'm going to do. I'm going to light up enough of the path to show you the next step. And the next step. And as you step forward, following him and seeking him, this year, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about the things that God wants to change in your life. If there are areas that you're struggling with, this is the year to start dealing with them. Say, Lord, I know I'm struggling in this area. I want to walk your way. I want to be on your path. So this morning, I'm asking you to make a commitment to follow him closer and closer each day. As you get up in the morning, think about what God may want to do through you. Begin to look for those God moments where he steps in and you know you were there for a reason. I believe our steps are directed. He puts us where he wants us. I don't know why he's put John in Pennsylvania working, but there's a reason. I don't know a lot of God's mind. If you're looking to this pastor to know all of God's mind, you're in trouble. His mind is far, far more than I will ever understand. You know, I think of some of the journeys. John went through the time without the job. Mark went through the time without the job. Kim went through the time without the job. Why? I can't answer you that. But I believe God was in it. I believe he used it for good in their lives. Am I thankful he hasn't put me in that position? Yes. Actually, I have been in that position in my life. When I moved back to West Virginia after my son was born, it took me 6 months to find a job, and I was looking for any job. I ended up working at a gas station, working the graveyard shift as a cashier. I was thankful for a job. I put in application after application after application. Now, one of the challenges was I would not work on Sabbath. My wife overheard one of the managers and saw him take my application, rip it up, and throw it away. And said, that guy thinks more about his God than his work. Well, I'm sorry, I think that's a good thing. But anyway, so I did not work at Hex. That was a chain in West Virginia because of that. But God brought us through. He brought us through. We learned. Was it an easy time? No. But God wants to perfect us. Little by little. In the prayer time this morning, we were talking about Kim is ever our joyful one. And she says, I'm a rose among all the thorns. And there was Darwin and Johnny and I. And we looked at her and thought we maybe should step back so that the lightning wouldn't strike us. Anyway, but that's a good application. God is cutting the thorns off of our branches and making us more and more beautiful. So guys, look forward to this year. Look forward to what God has for us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Father. And we truly do ask that you will help each of us to speak only the words that are acceptable and to have only the thoughts that are your thoughts, and that we would be continually transformed into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.